We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Bill Belichick is in the headlines again, this time with the Atlanta Falcons after leaving the New England Patriots. He had an official interview, and you guys brought up a good point off the show. Is he a guy that really has to go and actually do an interview? Like, what does Bill Belichick have to prove?
He's got a really impressive LinkedIn
page. Time? Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to get into who the Saints should be interviewing in our second block, what OCs are out there that the Saints should be eyeing, and also which member of their staff went and interviewed for what would be a lateral move.
Yeah, a lot to get into. Look, if Bill calls, you take the call. And
yeah.
That's something's probably going to happen in Atlanta. There's a lot of smoke there. Dallas opens up, though. You never know. It could be anything. But one place that's always open every morning is PJ's Coffee. They are a presenting sponsor. Make sure you check them out. And if you need a new car, check out my guy, Matt Bowers. Dealerships all over the region. They got the new Ford dealership open up. Well, not the new, but the new building open up on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. We were just looking at the Mustang 5.0s today. Man, they are fire. If you need one, go get them. Best prices, best customer care. Matt will take care of you. That's my guy. So make sure you go check him out. All right, let's hit these ads. The New Orleans Dot Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show.
Get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers is home to a new engagement salon where they have a beautiful selection of engagement rings. And while you're there, ask them about their collection of fleur-de-lis earrings and necklace that you see here. They are specially priced for our NOF audience. All right, we're going to see if I can get through this show without completely losing my voice. Let's go ahead and hit the lead topic. Joel Thomas got an interview with the New York Giants. What's surprising about the interview is that it was, in fact, for the exact same title he has with the New Orleans Saints. So it would be a lateral move. What do you make about the news of this?
Well, it means that they're willing to let him leave is what it means. And it means that there's probably changes afoot on the offensive staff. I mean, Joel Thomas, I think, you know, he's been around for a while. He's been a part of the staff for years. So he's been a valued member of it, but this kind of tells me that they're willing to make some changes. And if Joel has an opportunity somewhere else, they'll let him go. So, I mean, I think it's kind of fascinating. I don't believe that the coaching staff was back in the building yet today. I think that's going to be something that happens tomorrow with the assistants. They come in. So you know, I think that's probably something that if there are changes, it's probably later in the week, not something that actually would have happened today. So just because it's quiet, it doesn't mean anything, you know, that it's completely quiet. I just think that the lights haven't quite turned on this situation yet.
I will say, to confirm what you just said, when we were up at the Saints facility today, there was one car only. Dennis Allen rolled in and he kind of was looking at us like, what the heck are you guys doing here? But we're going to keep bringing you the reports 3 days a week throughout the offseason. Some of those will be in this studio, some in the new studio, hopefully soon, and of course some at the New Orleans Saints facility. But very interesting, guy like Joel Thomas, who I thought we were just talking about him a week ago, that this is a guy they really like.
Well, I think anyone on the offensive staff, and I know Nick said that the other night, if you're on the offensive staff, you're in jeopardy or you're in limbo or you're being evaluated. And look, it could mean they're, you know, they are moving away from Joel Thomas, but it could also just mean, hey, we can't promise you anything. We might hire a new offensive coordinator who wants to bring in his own staff. We are going to spend the whole week evaluating, and we might let some coaches go. So we're not going to bar you from other opportunities while the hiring process is going on. But what it does not mean is they have not decided we're definitely keeping Joel Thomas, because if they were, then they would have blocked an interview like this. They've blocked a lot of interviews like this in the past, famously like Ryan Nielsen with LSU and things like that. I remember a few examples, I think. We were trying to remember specific examples, but usually if you let someone on your staff interview somewhere else, it's not a great sign for you, because you have the ability to lock them in if you want to.
Yeah, when is the last time the Saints let somebody do this? Because as you mentioned, they can block it or they can grant these interviews, right?
Yeah, it's not common. Me and Mike were trying to remember. It feels like it's happened maybe once.
I thought there was reports of Aaron Glenn and letting him explore something, but then when I read, he interviewed for couple DC jobs before he finally got the one with Detroit, and possibly something with an elevated title with the Giants or whatever. But I really could not find anyone who specifically interviewed for lateral moves, because it might have been guys who had already been let go at the time when that happened.
It's interesting, though, given the situation with the running game this season. And to be fair, you had the 3-game suspension at the beginning of the season for Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller, about more injuries than the Saints probably expected in this season for the Saints. So look, Saints finished 21st in the NFL in rushing offense. What steps can the organization take this offseason as far as improving in that area of the field?
Well, I mean, look, it's the run game is built terribly. I mean, it really is. There's a lot of tells in it. I mean, early in the season, it was Lynn Bowden and Keith Kirkwood being on the field together, and you kind of knew that they were running the ball out of those looks just based on personnel. But even later in the season, there were a lot of pass looks and run looks, and you could kind of tell they weren't. What you need to do is you need to pass the ball out of your run looks and run the ball out of your pass looks and make sure that you don't have these tells and that you're able to make everything kind of look the same. Mm-hmm. So when you go out there and you do it, and then you run your play action off that, and you have your play action that looks like your run game, and it just makes it very hard to rush a passer. And I think they kind of got there within the last 4 weeks of the season. You started to see some of it come together, but there is a lot more that they can do with that. And, you know, you look at the Packers game, and they kept the Cowboys off just by having a good run game, and they don't have an elite offensive line either. So there's just, or you look at the Lions and the way they build their run game, and it makes Jared Goff look a lot better. And that makes the running backs more explosive. It makes the offensive line look better. I mean, there are a lot of things that you can do with the run game now that, you know, just with motion run game, all this different stuff, the Shanahan influence that just kind of elevates everything a little bit. And the Saints do none of it.
And I think it's the worst part of their offense, and I think it's the part of their offense that never got better. There were some glimpses late in the season, but not consistently enough. And even till the very end, I thought their running game was a disappointment all year long. And look, the numbers bear it out. I said this stat. I've talked about this stat a lot. First down runs by running backs. I just feel like it stalled the offense. Every week we watch this game, they were 31st in the league, 3.3 yards per carry. All runs by running backs, 29th in the league, 3.5 yards per carry. And then Next Gen Stats has a stat, running yards per carry over expected, like based on the situation of the game, dead last, -0.6. And I think a lot of that is blocking, but that's also run game design. And when we're talking about these assistant coaches, Pete Carmichael got all the brunt. But it is offensive line coach Doug Marrone's job. It is Joel Thomas's job. It's assistant offensive line coaches Kevin Carberry, Jari Evans. They build the run game. Like, they don't pick one guy as the run game coordinator, but Ronald Curry is the pass game coordinator. These guys build the run game. And I don't think they've done a good enough job with it. I certainly don't think they've gotten the best out of Alvin Kamara's talents, and I don't think they do a good enough job, as Nick pointed out in a late season article, getting him out in space. They haven't done right by him. And you know that I always don't think that they do enough well with Taysom Hill. That's a part of the game. If these are the coaches to do it, they need to do it different, or they need to bring in different coaches. But that's the one area of this team that I think most needs to change.
Yeah, here's the thing with Alvin, too. Like, he is getting a little bit older. Mm-hmm. DA kind of said something about it. But if you look at him, his lower half hasn't gone kind of the way Zeke Elliott or Dalvin Cooks has. Like, when you look at them guys, like, they don't have the strength in their legs to kind of run through tackles, to break tackles, to kind of get through people. Alvin still has that. I think maybe there's a little bit of, like, the elusiveness of making guys miss straight up is gone a little bit. But, like, that strength, the ability to kind of grind out yards and run hard is still very much there. You do just have to get him in space. You get him out into space into the second level, he's going to run through a linebacker. He's going to run through a cornerback. You're going to get more yards out of him. But they just don't do a good enough job of blocking at the beginning of the play to get him into that space. And I think his yards per before contact or whatever was like the lowest it's ever been, whatever. Like, it's just like this, it was too tight. So if they can find a way to get him just a little bit more room to operate, I think all that stuff comes together. And it's just building a better run game.
And there was no more disservice done. I mentioned Alvin Kamara, Taysom Hill. How about Jamal Williams? Look, they talked about how he basically became a fullback. They used him a lot as a pass protector. But he was also the quote-unquote traditional running back in this offense. If there was a fullback and two tight ends on the field, or there, you know, six offensive linemen on the field, it was oftentimes Jamal Williams. And he had like three good carries out of that formation all year. Like, I don't know if he saw a hole this season.
And if you want more information on how the Saints offense can be built for better success with Derek Carr at the helm next season, Nick just put out an article on neworleans.football. You can go up and subscribe on our website. How it's better if you tell them, given the voice situation, how can a member subscribe?
neworleans.football/subscribe.
And beautiful. Give him a better run game was number one on the list.
Yes. Well, and you know what has to do with that? The guys you bring in on the offensive line, which, as we know, has been pretty miss rather than hit for the Saints as of late, which gets to our Martin's question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's is so much more than just wine. All right, the question is, will the Saints finally move on from drafting raw, in quote, linemen with tremendous upside potential? Examples, Penning, Turner, Davenport.
It's a very fair question, because those three guys are all raw guys with potential. They had the size. They didn't have the proven college experience. Some of them switched positions late in their college career. But I also think it's cherry picking a little bit because, the Saints have been drafting defensive and offensive linemen a lot over the last decade. And a lot of them come from big colleges. Brian Brzee and Isaiah Foskey this year. Cesar Ruiz from Michigan was supposed to be, that was the COVID year, and that was the big thing they said. A 3.5-year starter at Michigan in the Big Ten. That's not raw. That's as far as raw as you can get. Eric McCoy from Texas A&M in the SEC. Ryan Ramczyk from the Big Ten in Wisconsin. Andres Pete from Stanford. Sheldon Rankins from Louisville. Cam Jordan from Cal. And then they've also had some hits from the raw college guys. Trey Hendrickson, David Onyemata, Teron Armstead, Akeem Hicks. Obviously going back to Jari Evans, Jermon Bushrod. So I don't think you automatically say raw doesn't work and proven colleges do work. But raw adds an element of you might miss to it, and they are 0-3 on those guys. So they're probably going to be a little more gun-shy.
Here's the thing. Like, if you need to draft a left tackle or defensive end and you're annually picking between pick 12 and 22 or whatever it's been the last 5-6 years, these are the guys you have to pick because there's nobody else. Like, the ones that are proven commodities, that have proven production, they go top 5, top 10. You can't get them in those spots. So if you're gonna ever
draft 14,
like you aren't getting
Myles Garrett. That's what they need. This team needs a Myles Garrett so freaking bad. But you either need Myles Garrett traits, or if a guy is available in the second round from a proven school, it's Isaiah Foskey.
Right. Yeah. You're getting the traits in no production, or you're getting the production in no traits. In that
if you get
area.
Both, you go second. Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson. Right.
So I mean, this is kind of what you have to do, and it just kind of is what it is at that point. So yeah, they're going to keep drafting them because they have to. Like, there's just no other way to get these types of players. You kind of have to take the gamble when you're picking in this area of the draft.
Didn't I hear you talking about some kid at Notre Dame that you liked in the new studio during The little kicking it with Nick show.
Yeah, they got two
kicking it with Nick.
They got two tackles.
Oh, they love it. They love it. They love giving you the direct questions. It's doing very well on our website.
Yeah, they got two tackles. I think one of them is going to be really good, and I think the other one isn't. And I think they're both going to get drafted early.
Who do you go with? Let's go.
Yeah, I'm not putting
the GM cap on.
Yeah,
where's he at on the board?
I'll get back to you on that. Like, I've heard things about one and not the other, and yeah, I think one is gonna be good, and we'll see on the other one.
Back I can't to... wait for our draft shows too. Oh, by the way, like, we in our new studio, my only ask is when we get to that, we're like doing our own mock draft on a board somewhere.
Sure.
Back to
the heart of the question, though. I've said this before, and I'm probably gonna say it 50 times over the next couple months. I think the defensive line needs to be addressed in free agency. Like, I'm not waiting for the guy that they draft with the 14th pick or the 45th pick to develop and help this defensive line. I don't know if they're getting a complimentary guy that costs $8 to $10 million a year, or if they're saying this is our big splash move. Like, they kind of have made one every offseason. He's a defensive lineman for me to quick fix this team. I think that should be their biggest expenditure of free agency. They need immediate help on the defensive line, not somebody to develop into future help. They need both. But
and it's interesting too. Look, another quarterback has entered the NFL draft chat. Michigan's J.J. McCarthy has declared for the draft. We have continued to talk about, yes, I think we all believe the Saints should have interest in looking at the quarterbacks in this year's draft, but should they have interest in this specific quarterback?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. It depends. Like, it just kind of really depends, like, how you feel about him. I don't know that I would, like, move heaven and earth to get him, but, like, if he's there in the second round, maybe. Like, you kind of got to take some chances somewhere. So if you like him, you like the traits and all that stuff, like, it's worth a shot, but, like, I don't know that I would make that move in the first round.
I about this draft class with this question, though, is Derek Carr played well enough and showed hints that when healthy and when comfortable, there's more there. Mm-hmm. The quick rush to judgment that he wasn't the answer. I think that'll allow them patience. They don't have to draft a quarterback in round one. But what I like about this year's draft class, and the reason why I think it should be a very strong consideration, is the depth of it. I think most draft analysts seem to agree that Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels are, like, legitimate top five, and people aren't forcing them into the top five because they need quarterbacks, but those are, like, three. Mm-hmm. And then you've got guys like J.J. McCarthy. You've got guys like Michael Penix, who I've seen close to the top 10 in some mock drafts. I've seen in the second round in others, but I think Bo Nix, some people are talking about as a second round guy. There's just a good chance that you might really like someone and really like the value at 14, or maybe trade up and get one at like 28 as a second first round pick or something like that. I just think it's possible. J.J. McCarthy is very different from Michael Penix, I think, even though the grades are similar. There's just a good chance that the Saints might find one of these guys that they like. And I'm all for the cost. Like, I don't necessarily know that they should move up from 14 to 6 for a guy like that, but if they could stay put at 14 and have an actual first round grade on one of these guys, that's when I think you really consider it.
I think I like, you mentioned Michael Penix as well. J.J. McCarthy has the size on Michael Penix. He's more of a guy that can stay in the pocket and kind of take some hits. I don't know who you go with. I think for a guy who would probably sit behind Derek Carr for a year, likely J.J. McCarthy over Michael Penix, but really they could go anywhere with their decisions. It all depends too on who's the offensive coordinator and what's going to be the prototypical quarterback that they want in the draft. Could that weigh into that changing this year?
No, I mean, because the way those prototypes are set is they're set on the league averages of the starters from across the league. So that's really all
it's
it is. Yeah, they're literally just drafting what plays in the league. So people, like, hate the prototype. Like, those are just the starters in the NFL, guys. Like, it's the average of them.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. So, and then they set a minimum, which, and then if you go below it, you got to have a reason for making an exception. But that's really all it is on the prototypes.
Yeah, my only thing would be if you can go get Jaden Daniels out of these quarterbacks, go get Jaden Daniels. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we got so much more dialed up for the show. What's going on with the NFC and the playoffs and what's going on? We're going to talk about that at the Bucks-Eagles game is going on right now. We're going to talk about the collapse with the NFC with some of these teams as well. What OC should the Saints be looking at? We're going to list a few names. And is Will Lutz potentially on the way back? We'll get into all that right after this.
Tis the season for Gumbo Combos at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Enjoy our hot gumbo, fries, and your choice of shrimp, catfish, soft-shell crab, or frog legs starting at $9.99. That's right, $9.99 at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience.
Welcome back to the NOF studio. Time now for our moment of the day presented by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. We're in the middle of the wild card round, but with the Saints out of the playoffs and looking to get a lot of things accomplished this offseason, is there any advantage right now for the Saints in comparison to the teams that are actually still playing as far as what the Saints can get ahead of for next season right now with this time off?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think so. And there's always panic about them kind of going slow with their process. And I think maybe if you're like hiring a head coach and you're slow with kind of getting into your process, sure. But like, that's where everybody's at right now. There isn't a whole lot of like guys getting swept up in the coordinator jobs or hired as running back coaches or, you know, anything like that. So I guess the advantage would be is that you can kind of, I mean, I don't think there's really an advantage or a disadvantage. I think you just kind of run your process. And if there was like a groundswell of hires happening, sure, like you're at a disadvantage, but that just really isn't the case yet.
I mean, there's an advantage to continuity and stability in the first place, which the Saints always strive for, but just in general, you're probably ahead of the team that hasn't even hired its coach yet. If like all you're doing is hiring like one coordinator or you know, a couple of key pieces and you're already hitting the ground running on those interviews, that probably helps as opposed to somebody who's going to get hired 3 weeks from now and then go and try to find who's left and available. But
they're usually tied. Usually tied in though. Like the head coach usually they're tied in with their coordinators and in the GM. Usually it's kind of like a package. I actually sat at the combine one year where there was like a group of these people putting together one of these things. And like, I was like watching it happen and it was like, it was crazy. Like they had everything like in like down to like the, who was going to be their PR guy and like all this stuff. Like, they knew everything, and it was just kind of this whole this whole group, this collective, like putting it together right there. And then, you know, off they go and it gets put together.
But it is interesting when somebody gets like left out, like which is always interesting. Like someone like Dan Quinn, like the Cowboys haven't decided if they're going to fire Dan Quinn or not. And he's doing head coaching interviews. And then let's say they like fire their staff and all this and like they hire Bill Belichick and he wants a defensive coordinator. And like Dan Quinn is all of a sudden like, I was on the list of these people that if they got jobs, they would bring me with them, but they didn't get jobs. Yeah. Like it was really interesting. Like Vic Fangio, like wasn't he tied to Sean Payton for a while, but then he picked Denver and Vic Fangio was like, who wants me? And Miami was like, we'll take you. You know, it is an interesting carousel when someone is tied to a head coaching candidate, but then that head coaching candidate doesn't get the job.
You know what else is interesting? What the heck is going on with the NFC this year, specifically in the playoffs? So the Packers just destroyed the Cowboys in Dallas. The Eagles are getting destroyed in Tampa Bay right now. It's 25-9 with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. What is this division shaping up to be next year?
Bad news for all the Saints fans, who is, I think, all the Saints fans who don't want to tolerate 9-8. Who don't believe mediocrity is a good
32
goal.
32-9.
Yeah, 32-9. It's cooked.
If you don't think it's noble to strive for just winning your division and winning 9 or 10 games, that is not going away. That philosophy, there's nothing about these playoffs that would make anyone not want to just get into the tournament.
The Eagles,
what's happening over there?
Eagles fans with bags on right now.
I believe that 100%. 100%.
It's a tough time.
You think the Saints fans are bad?
Tough time, man.
Yeah.
Look, but really, I mean, like, it's tough. Like, the Saints.
Don't say it.
Saints would have probably won.
Saints would. Do you think the Saints would be in the second round of the playoffs if they had gotten in over the Packers or the Bucks?
You know what? After that Packers game, you had the foresight to say, this is a loss that's going to come back and haunt them.
Week three, I said in the press box.
And it was, yeah, that was the one.
This will matter.
That was the one.
And
yeah.
Green Bay is moving on.
Green Bay's in the final eight.
It's insane.
And it was a game that the Saints win 9 times out of 10. They can't. It's little Green Bay, how they lost
Green
it.
Bay's going to San Fran.
It's literally right? just yeah. all about when you play a team. It really is. Like, if you catch the Eagles right now, like, they're nothing.
You got time.
Yeah. It's just, it doesn't matter. Like,
I will say this, though. The Saints were not better than 9-8 this year. It wasn't like they got bad luck with their timing.
Agreed.
9-8 was maximizing the performance we saw from the Saints. But they were better now than they were at any other point in the season. I think they would have won one of these first-round playoff games.
Two teams they did play this year. How about the Rams-Lions game last night, too?
Those are two teams that are both better than the Saints.
Yeah, someone had asked us in one of the questions who the most impressive player we saw this year was, and it's Puka. Like, it definitely is. That's definitely who it was. Eric, that guy is unbelievable.
We had talked about, did we talk for the Lions? Didn't we say one of the guys on their team, though?
I don't know.
Remember when we had that in the preseason?
Yeah.
For me, it's
Puka, though,
show.
Man. It's Puka, like,
yeah,
for
Puka
sure.
Yeah, Puka Nacua is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. He's the best one. That
I can't believe he's not. We don't get to see him next week. Like, it's...
Yeah, and look, the way Stafford played in that game, whatever doctor he finally found and got healthy, like, Stafford is back to being like one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the league right now. Knocking them out of the playoffs was a serious move. Like, that's one of the better teams in the playoffs out of it.
I think Jared Goff was the more serious move going back to LA. And he said in his post-game interview it wasn't a revenge game for him, but you could see the emotion he wore on the sleeve. But credit
Dan
to Campbell
had
Campbell.
Such a good line at the end of the game when he said, Jared Goff, let's just put it this way, you're good enough for Detroit.
Oh, I love that.
In the
Sell
post-game
the t-shirt.
Locker room.
Sell the t-shirt. It's so great. It's honestly really cool to see a coach like Dan Campbell who, to be honest, there was a lot of people that didn't take him very seriously when he was talking about biting off kneecaps and crazy stuff like that. But he's a guy everybody in that locker room, the coaching staff, the fans, rally around, specifically in Detroit. If you can get a guy like that who can win and have that bravado and they still wear the grit on there, it's still the same thing they said when they walked in there in day one, we're going to be the grittiest team. I've just been so impressed and so happy to see a guy like Dan Campbell earn the flowers.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
All right, let's move on here. Will Lutz is back in New Orleans.
Oh, look at you trying
he's got
to
his
stir
house
stuff
here,
up.
But he's back in New Orleans after spending the last few months in Denver. He will be a free agent. What are the odds the Saints ask him to come back and compete in training camp?
He's
this
not a guy
camp?
Who needs to compete.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, and I'm going to use a rough phrase here. Like, if they did that, Will would probably tell him to eat shit, and like, and he should. And I don't think the Saints are going to try to move on from Blake Groupie like that. Like, I think Blake has earned the opportunity to be the kicker. I think he's the incumbent. Like, There might be someone that comes in to, like, take training camp reps, and the door's always open. If somebody comes in, maybe they play better and you steal it. But I don't think that they're setting out with the objective of, like, we need to get, like, a high-priced guy to compete with them.
Let me answer my own question. It was kind of joking because you can't ask him to come back and compete after what the man just went through last year.
Yeah.
Well, three answers to that question. Three, so settle in. No. I'm not ruling out Will Lutz kicking for the Saints again one day. I think he made a home here. I think circumstances could change one day in the future. I don't think he's dead. New Orleans is dead to him forever. But it's not going to be this year, and he certainly wouldn't have to compete for it. He was almost at a Pro Bowl level this year. If Denver doesn't bring him back, somebody else will sign him, and he will be their kicker without needing to compete for it. But I agree with Nick. I think the Saints kind of weathered the storm with Blake Groupie. What they said is, we have to deal with the rookie ups and downs. And they point to all these examples. Young Wei Koo, I know, is one. I can't even remember all the ones they said. Struggled with their first team, had success with their second. How about Cairo Santos with the Bears? It's like their fourth or fifth team. So they're like, we got to wait this out, but we like the qualities of the guy. And the way he finished the season, I think they want to continue going forward with him.
Yeah,
will it ultimately work out? I don't know for sure. But the person you left out of your story is Thomas Morstead, who also lives in New Orleans and who also is back
in
town and who also finished, I think, third in the all-pro voting at punter or whatever. And that is a potential opening. I think Thomas Morstead returning to the Saints is the campaign we should be starting, and we could eventually like take credit for if it happens.
How heavy is the possibility on that?
I mean, the door's probably definitely always open. He's still he's still balling, man. And I think if you could bring him in, I would want to.
Like, would they pay him more than the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't see why not. I mean, I would be willing to pay him to bring him back here for sure. It's not like a high, you know, it's a punt, like, no offense, but like a punter isn't, you know, you aren't spending $20 million on a punter. Like,
I wonder how they feel about Lou Hedley. Look, I asked Dennis Allen in his post-season press conference about Blake Groupie, and he lumped Lou Hedley into the answer. He said, both of them. We really liked the way both of them developed as the season went on. The numbers never got that much better with Lou Hedley. He seemed a little more consistent, palatable, but I wonder if they are privately saying, we tried that didn't work, let's go find a traditional punter, or if they're going to double down on it. I really don't. That's a tough prediction for me. I'm kind of 50-50 on whether I think their plan is for Lou Hedley to be the guy to beat out next year, if they're going to move on.
Yeah, I don't know. I never got a whole lot of confidence, though, that it probably is more 50-50. Like, I never got a lot of confidence one way or the other that they like this different style, that it's not the traditional pro football style. It's like the Australian kicking and things like that. What do you think?
I kind of feel like
you think like Rizzi really loves it?
I think they feel like they found something.
No.
I do. I mean,
they found a hack.
That was kind of the way they talked about it the whole entire year. Is that they, you know, we didn't understand, they understood, and then, you know, they finished second in the special team rankings, Rick Goslin's special teams rankings, which are like super highly regarded within the league. Like, Belichick would cite those things all the time and just talk about, like, you know, how accurate they were. Like, and that's everybody in the league. So, I mean, the numbers were good.
It can't be done better, though.
The numbers were good.
I think they could actually go with another Australian punter too. Like, there's like six or seven in the NFL now. It's all of college football. The SEC is like 12. Like, they might like that style and still have someone come compete for him. Because the problem with him is, I like the theory. There were very few return yards. The Saints were like one of the top teams in fewest return yards allowed. But his net punting average was still among the lowest in the NFL. That is supposed to work. It's supposed to be like, you kick it 45 yards and your net average is 43 yards. It's not supposed to mean you kick it 39 and your net average is 37.
Yeah. Yeah, the numbers were good. It's just, it felt like, yeah. Yeah, things could have been better. Yeah.
Could have been better offensively, too, which gets to our money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Who would be the money hire at offensive coordinator this offseason? Do the Saints bring in somebody this week to do an interview? Let's go ahead and start with Jerod Johnson. He's in his fourth season coaching in the NFL. He's the Texans' current quarterbacks coach for the 2023 season. As we know, they've had some pretty big success with the rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud. Where does he rank among the interviews for the Saints, if he were to get one?
I think he's somebody that you have to like strongly, seriously consider. I mean, he would be right up at the top of my list for me. You get someone that has a little bit of the Shanahan on him now too, which
that's the right tree.
That's the right. That's the only tree. That's the money tree. That's where I would be looking for sure. I mean, that's. I think he's at the top of my list just based on that. I liked what they did there. It was incredibly impressive. Like in. You know, you kind of look at someone that just brought up a quarterback too. Like, and I don't want to take anything away from C.J. Stroud, but like, he had to have helped with that development in some form or fashion. So, I like it. I would have him right at the top of my list.
Yeah, he is not like super deep Shanahan. I think he works for Bobby Slowick now, who worked for Shanahan, and so he's been introduced to that system. Their running game wasn't as good as all those other teams you listed before, but coming from that tree puts him at the top of my list too. One interesting thing, though, is Bobby Slowick is getting some of these head coaching interviews, and that could mean Jerod Johnson gets promoted to OC there where he is now or follows Bobby Slowick. So, you know, he's probably going to have options this year. But I love – that's the right idea. That's the right idea. And luckily, if you want somebody who has the Shanahan on him, you've got about 9 teams, 12 teams. Yeah. How many teams have Shanahan or McVay on them somewhere, you know? Hire someone from Cincinnati, hire someone from Green Bay, hire someone from San Francisco, hire someone from Miami, hire somebody from Houston now, and I'm probably leaving out 3 or 4 teams, the Rams themselves. They're just so innovative. They're doing all the things that the Saints need more of. I'd love to see it come from that tree in some form or fashion.
Now, look, I'm going to bring up this name, not because we think this is somebody who has any interest in being the OC in New Orleans, but because it's a guy that we have talked about previously. Ben Johnson. When we were talking about him earlier in the season, it was because we were all thinking that the Saints would potentially hire him as their next head coach. As we know now, sitting at 9-8, Dennis Allen is not going anywhere. And Ben Johnson, to be honest, he is not making a lateral move.
He'll probably take a coaching job this year.
He is definitely probably going to end up as a head coach somewhere. But this gets back to the whole lateral moves happening. That's why it was so odd for us to see Joel Thomas get the lateral coaching interview with the running backs coach with the Giants. But Ben Johnson, I mean, do you rank him as probably top three right now as head coaching candidates?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to have his choice of jobs. Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
If he were to come to New Orleans, what could he have brought with him?
A good offense, but I mean, he's not coming.
Yeah. That is, but yeah, like to bring that point, because we do get asked about that all the time. Don't look at other people's offensive coordinators. You're not getting someone else's offensive, unless they were the offensive coordinator on a fired staff and they're an offensive coordinator who's now out of a staff. Like, that's definitely possible. You're not poaching someone else's offensive coordinator, but you are looking for the next Ben Johnson without question.
All right. Another passing game coordinator that is potentially on the hunt. Chiefs passing game coordinator, Joe Blamire. He's his eighth season with the Chiefs. It's his first as the passing game coordinator. He was previously the wide receivers coach. What do we know? What do we like about this guy?
That's another good tree. And actually, I can't believe there's an assistant coach for the Chiefs that hasn't already been someone else's, like, head coach or offensive coordinator. People have been hiring from Andy Reid's staff to last 8 years there. That's the right idea. Get some of these fresh ideas in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely. I mean, if you want to always go to a place that has a good pedigree, and everybody with the Chiefs, you know, they usually succeed.
I don't care if it's copying. I don't care if it's stealing.
They're creative. Yeah. They're influential within the league. So, yeah, that's definitely a place that I'd be looking to.
Would it be a lateral move for Joe Brady if he were to come to the New Orleans Saints? He is the interim OC,
so
but
no.
Technically the QB coach. We'll see what happens with the future there.
I mean, they're going to hire him to that job.
It's hard not to believe.
Yeah. I mean, he's had too much success. He's turned it around. They just want a playoff game. It's hard to imagine that they would go another direction with that. But if they decide not to keep him or they're wishy-washy, this would be a type of job that he probably would, you know, he'd be interested in it for sure. I'm still not, you know, if I'm changing it up, I'm changing it up, though. Yeah. I don't think I want to touch the same DNA, but like maybe he's got some different stuff from his different stops, but I would probably lean another direction, but I wouldn't be like totally against it either.
He's a good reminder, though. He was such a hotshot candidate, quickly got the offensive coordinator job. And then when he got fired, as everyone does in Carolina, within 9 months of taking any job in Carolina, he had to do a little career rehab, and he was back as the Bills quarterbacks coach before he got that promotion a couple of months ago. So there are people like that waiting for other opportunities to be offensive coordinators. So if you do decide to make a switch, it's possible you can hit on it's not, there are people all over the place that might be a good hire.
To be fair to Joe too, like he was incredibly young in that role. And sometimes you got to learn what you don't know. It's just tough for me to forget, like, Teddy Bridgewater talking about how they didn't practice certain things that they needed to practice in the games and how just disastrous that situation was. It's just hard for me to forget that. But, like, again, you can go out, learn, rehabilitate, figure out what you don't know, get your ego checked a little bit, come back a lot stronger.
So you mentioned wanting change, and you don't think that if they went with Joe Blamire, they would be that. So you're ruling out Ronald Curry potentially being the OC?
I just think if you're going to change it, change it. Just and that's it. Nothing to do with Curry or anybody else. It's just if you're gonna do something different, do something completely different. I mean, like, everybody had their hands in this already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just feel like we already saw what they can kind of do. So, I mean, it's tough for me to be against someone that I've never seen in that role, but it's just kind of, if they're going to change, I want to see change. I don't want to see Saints change. I want to see change.
I feel the exact same way. I mean, it might be unfair to him. He didn't have the position to overrule anybody. He didn't, you know, call plays during the games and things like that, but he was in the room every time they were like, how do we fix this? And anyone who's been in that room hasn't come up with the answers for the Saints in recent years. But I do think he is still sort of seen as a rising coach, and I think there will be opportunities for him, whether it's here or somewhere else.
We'll see if they move the needle at all this week. As we know, they're all going to be back in the office tomorrow. We'll see if there are any changes on the way. We do expect a little bit of a shakeup, but we'll see what happens specifically with offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael, and if the Saints want to bring him back. But we will be bringing you all of updates from Metairie this week. We will have reports from out there. And, of course, we will have our full shows here in studio. And we'll hopefully be getting into the new studio over there in Metairie very soon.
Do we get to bring like a sledgehammer to these walls and show it live? And
yeah. All right. We'll see you guys next time.